There have been rumblings this week from all the major professional sports leagues as they work on possible plans to return. But just because they aren't playing yet doesn't mean there's nothing to talk about in the world of sports.
And forward from the University of New Hampshire, Sitterick!
That would be Radio Boston's Chris Sitterick. Welcome back, Chris.
Thanks for having me, Tiziana.
All right, listen, other than fulfilling a fantasy you've had since you were 12 years old, why did you want to do that intro?
No, I was joking. I've done that about 10,000 times as a 12-year-old in the driveway. That is obviously the iconic song for the intro of the 1990 Chicago Bulls. This past Sunday was the last episode of The Last Dance. If you hadn't heard of that, it's an ESPN documentary, a 10-part series. The director is actually from your neck of the woods, Tiziana, Newton, Mass. His name is Jason Hare.
Yep.
And it basically focuses on Jordan's final season with the Bulls, the 1997-98 championship run. It was the franchise's sixth championship, Jordan's sixth championship, their second three-peat. But really, it kind of uses that season as a way to launch back throughout Jordan's entire career. And this thing just became an absolute cultural phenomenon. Folks, it averaged almost 6 million same-day viewers over its 10-episode run.
Must-see TV.
It's as close to as, yeah, absolutely, appointment TV. It was something that really connected with folks, probably partially because we don't have any live sports, as you said. But I think there was something to it anyway. I think this really would have resonated regardless. You've got the nostalgia of reliving the 80s and 90s, both basketball, but it's kind of those, that cultural period anyway, through the soundtrack and commercials and archival footage, and not to mention just this absolutely incredible portrayal of greatness in sports. The access that these guys had, it just felt like you really got a real picture of who Michael Jordan was. I want to play a quick clip from one scene. He's smoking a big fat stogie in the locker room. He's got a baseball bat in his hand, kind of taking these loose, slow swings. And he's talking a little bit of trash, as was Jordan's way.
I see that all that trash talking starts when it's 0-0 instead of 5-6 point lead. That's where it starts.
I just love that he's talking about his former teammate B.J. Armstrong after B.J. Armstrong put up kind of a uncharacteristically good game in the 1998 Eastern Conference Finals. But I just love it because it was so vintage Jordan. It's just this combination of swagger and tenacity. It just really embodied what he was as a player.
Chris, you know, I lived in Chicago during that last glory season for the Bulls.
No, that's right. You're from Detroit, too, so you're a Pistons fan. What was that like in Chicago in that era?
Yeah, being an Isaiah Thomas fan, which is just going to get me dinged, during that era was interesting. But being in Chicago during that time, I think it's hard for people who weren't there to understand that Michael Jordan was carrying the entire city. I mean, he wore us on his shoulders.
Yeah, there was something beyond basketball about him. It was transcendent of sports. I mean, this is a time before social media, and yet he became the most famous person in the world. And he had this kind of combination of athleticism and grace and competitiveness. It just really created this kind of compelling figure. And I really feel like you get a good look at that through this documentary. It's one of the reasons I loved it so much. One of my favorite recurring features they have is they show different players that they're interviewing clips of other players talking about games or moments or rivalries. And I want to play this one clip here of Michael Jordan reacting to Gary Payton, who played for the Seattle Supersonics, nicknamed the Glove, maybe the greatest defender of all time, if not the greatest, one of the greatest defenders of all time. So he's talking about defending Michael Jordan in games 4 through 6 of the 96 finals. Listen to the way MJ reacts as he watches Gary Payton talk.
You just got to tire him out. And I
kept hitting him and banging him and hitting him and banging him. It took a toll on Mike. It took a toll. And then I feel myself resting him a little bit. And then the series changed. And I wish I could have did it earlier. I don't know if the outcome would have been different, but it was a difference. and beating him down a little bit.
The Glove. I had no problem with the Glove.
I love that.
So that's Jordan guffawing in the background there? That was Michael Jordan laughing?
Yeah, and if you look at even just the screenshot of that moment, it is a full belly laugh. He is so tickled by the notion that somebody could have possibly contained him on the floor. The numbers are interesting. Gary Payton may have had a point. He played pretty good defense against him the second half of that series. But I just love what it tells you about the mindset of Michael Jordan, the competitive nature, this idea that when you step on the floor, this is my domain and nothing you can do matters.
So I want to stay on that for a second, Chris. We've got about 2 minutes left, and I think this is an important point. There's been a lot of chatter that Michael Jordan comes out of this not looking great. I think what occurs to me is we have a lot of talk about goats around Boston, you know, greatest of all time.
That's right.
Are we seeing what it takes to be a goat? I mean,
it's an interesting question.
I'd argue he's the goat.
It takes more than 2 minutes to dive into, but I think it was something Jordan himself said he was concerned about in doing this documentary. And a lot of the guys that played with him say, look, he's just super competitive. He pulled everyone along with him. Some of them push back against that notion a little bit, but I want to play one more clip. It's a really striking moment from the end of episode 7, where Jason Hare asked Jordan if all this winning came at the price of people seeing him as a nice guy. Here's part of how he answered that.
Winning has a price. And leadership has a price. So I pulled people along when they didn't want to be pulled. I challenge people when they don't want to be challenged. And I earned that right because my teammates came after me. They didn't endure all the things that I endured.
Michael Jordan is down in pain. Michael Jordan got taken out. He's hurt.
That moment really resonates because at this point, you're 7 episodes in. You've gone on this journey with him. But interesting, Jason Hare said that was the first 45 minutes of talking with Michael Jordan. He ends up at the end of that answer breaking down in tears and just says, break. And they cut, and that's the end of the episode 7. You know, some players push back against that, and even Celtic great Robert Parrish that said Larry Bird was a better leader, for example. But I think ultimately what everyone recognizes is it came out of his competitive nature and that desire to win.
So two things then, Chris. Lots of opportunity for compare and contrast for Boston sports fans with their own teams and watching this. Is that right?
Absolutely. And I will say there are multiple Larry Bird moments. My favorite is not suitable for air, but it's after Jordan knocks out the Pacers when Larry Bird was coaching. It's a very short exchange, but man, is it brilliant.
And if listeners want to find this, where do they do it?
It's on demand. It's an ESPN documentary. You can get it anywhere. You can get ESPN programming.
All right. That is Radio Boston's Chris Sitterick. Chris, thanks. It's good to talk
to you. And Tom Brady's next. Keep your eyes up.
Yeah, no kidding. All right, stay with us. Coming up, many local graduates say that they're struggling to land their next opportunity and to stay on their feet. It's hard and we want to talk about it. We'll take your calls. I'm Tiziana Deering. That's coming up. This is Radio Boston. I treat you like a child and you're going to be named another enemy, not even a frenemy, because you'll get fried in the end.